welcome to the Basketball Fiends Podcast, a proud member of the R Esquina Podcast Network. My name is Jesus Acevedo Jr., and with me as always is Alex Aguilera. How's life, Alex?
You know what? Life is good. Life gets better for me when baseball comes back, and baseball is back.
Since you're in Chicago, you know, there's a big thing, White Sox Cubs. So, what side are you?
So, I'm a Cubs fan. I'm a Cubs fan, but I don't like hate the Sox. I always consider them as like my number two team. But obviously, when it's Cubs Sox, like I root for the Cubs, and the reason for that is, there's a couple reasons, but I think the finisher was that I actually went to grammar school, not too far from Wrigley Field.
Oh,
so I remember I think sixth grade, all the older grades go up to the top floor. And my class in sixth grade, you could see the lights from Wrigley Field. And then, of course, they play a lot of day games. So sometimes, like, towards the end of day of school, you would hear if, like, there was a home run or something like that. And I was just like, man, that's so cool. So,
wow. That is pretty awesome.
That's what got me.
That's
what got me.
Okay. Yeah. I could see it. Okay. Wrigley Field. Well, you know, that's Wrigley Field is one of the stadiums that I would like to see before I leave this great earth. You know, that's one of those stadiums that's up there also. With Yankee Stadium, you know, obviously it's a different Yankee Stadium now than the one
I've been to both.
You've been to both. Oh, well, I hate you a little bit. I'm not gonna lie, because those are two that are up there, you know.
And what's funny about Yankee Stadium was the one game that I went to was A-Rod's last game. Oh, it was kind of like it was just on accident. My uncle had gotten tickets. He was like, "Hey, you know, I know you haven't been to a Yankees game. I know you like baseball, so let's go to a Yankees game." And he had announced his retirement right before, so he was just like, hey, this just so happens to be the game. So that was pretty cool.
Nice. Well, you know what's the other big team in New York while we're in the New York state of mind is the New York Knicks. And the New York Knicks have not been good for a long time, Alex. You know, I think the last time they were really relevant was, well, they made the finals in 1999, but they've been to the second round of the playoffs, I think 2012, 2013 with Carmelo.
Yes.
But beyond that, the Knicks have really been... You know, that's the best way to describe what the Knicks have been.
And
you know, for me, one of the things that I always say, you know, obviously the Knicks are like one of those iconic franchises, right? But to me, I always said the Knicks will never get better until James Dolan sells the team. But with that said, this season the Knicks have been having a bit of a surge. They're, you know, a couple of days ago they were 4th seed. Right now they're 6th seed, but they're within like one game, two games of being a 4th, 3rd seed, you know, that's how the Eastern Conference is. I want to ask you a question, Alex. Should Knicks fans be celebrating that their team is, granted, they're just at 500, but they're playing good basketball?
You know what? Why the hell not? I mean,
They haven't had nothing.
Knicks fans haven't had nothing in a while. They go through the ringer year in and year out. So it's nice, even at 500. With the East pretty much outside of the top three, it's pretty much wide open for any team. And for them, especially, you know, with, you know, this pandemic year, this pandemic season, for them to be at 500 and with a young squad too, you know, it's
a young squad.
They have something to be legitimately excited about, not just this season, but, you know, moving forward.
They're led by Julius Randle, which that's a topic that I'll have to bring up some other week. Is all the Laker players, former Laker players, right?
Yeah. So, okay.
We'll say that for next week. But yes, Julius Randle is having an All-Star season, and he's going to his first All-Star game, and he has really anchored that team, you know. And then right next to him, RJ Barrett is having a nice season as well. And then Emmanuel Quickley, he is going to get some Rookie of the Year votes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Emmanuel Quickley is – and then, of course, you know, they traded for Derrick Rose. You know, we touched upon it a couple weeks ago as a great veteran presence. And, you know, it has to be said, the coach also has a lot to do with it, you know. And we know Tom Thibodeau, he's a hard-nosed coach. You know, one thing you knew about his teams, you were in for a dogfight.
Absolutely, dude. Absolutely.
And so, you know, yeah, let's let Knicks fans, let them celebrate this.
Yeah.
You know, because here's the thing. There's no telling where the Knicks could go from here.
Right, no.
They could all of a sudden slide back down.
Right, but I think for the most part, it looks like they're trending in the right direction.
They are.
And that's something we haven't seen from the Knicks in a while. And you touched on it already. Just this young core that they got. Julius Randle is the anchor of this team. He's averaging like 23, 10 rebounds. Obviously, you know, an all-star year. he's holding it down for you there. And I just love these young guys out there. RJ Barrett, I love Emmanuel Quickly, man. That's one of my guys. I know I talked about Tyrese Haliburton, who is still my guy as well, but I do Emmanuel Quickly, you know, just this little spurt of energy, if you want to call it, you know, 12 points.
His name really fits him.
It does. He just brings this spark to the team. A little inconsistent, if you may say.
He's a rookie.
Right, he's a rookie.
You can give him that leeway.
Right, I'll give him that leeway. That's where I'm just kind of like, oh, I would love, man, could you imagine if he's just way more consistent as a rookie? Like, oh my God. But once again, he's a young guy. He'll get there. And then, man, my guy, Derrick Rose, we talked about it. Earlier, I loved that pickup that the Knicks got from him, and he's been playing well, man. Just that veteran presence a young team like this needs, and he's been playing pretty solid too. He's actually been shooting the ball pretty well.
He has, and I think, you know, it's he needs to be commended for that, because, you know, when he was in Chicago, he wasn't the greatest shooter. You know, he was clutch at times when he
needed, but
not consistent.
No, not at all. He hit the big shot when he needed to.
When he needs to, right? But no, so yeah, he definitely needs to be commended. But I think it also helps that Derrick Rose knows what Thibodeau wants from a team, you know. So I'm sure that's also helping as he parlays all this info that he has playing with Tom and helping these youngsters. And here's another thing that I like is that now, you know, a lot of Knicks fans. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm wondering if a lot of Knicks fans became Nets fans, you know, when the big three formed. Well, first it was just Kevin Durant and Kyrie, but especially as James Harden joined the Nets. I mean, they're just a stone's throw away.
It's Brooklyn, man. Still New York.
Yeah, so, it's Brooklyn, exactly.
So it's still, but I mean, I don't know. Some of those diehard Knicks fans, like the few times that I've been to New York and just literally passing by people talking about the Knicks, I'm like, man, like, I'm pretty sure there are some that have crossed over, but hey man, Knicks fans, they're a loyal bunch. They're diehard. They're a loyal bunch, and you know, this is a nice little reward for them for the suffering that they've had to go through for all these years. So
definitely. Now we're gonna stay in the Eastern Conference for our second topic, and we have our second coach that's been dismissed, as the Atlanta Hawks dismissed head coach Lloyd Pierce after 2.5 seasons. Now, Alex, the Hawks are 15-20 in a season where they have playoff aspirations. You know, Trae Young is entering his third season. They had some pickups in the offseason. Josh Collins upped his game this season. But it has to be said, Pierce was in the last year of a guaranteed contract. So the Hawks really didn't have no incentive to pursue him after this season. So they just said, let us cut our losses. We're 15-20. We can still make a run to the playoffs. They're in the Eastern Conference. And, you know, as has been reported, the relationship between Lloyd Pierce and Hawks star Trae Young was strained.
Yeah.
It was never solid, you can say.
Yeah, no, it was definitely a little strained, a little uneasy. I want to say it was The Athletic that had reported that.
Correct.
Where I want to say Lloyd Pierce had sort of criticized Trae Young for his offense at times, the way he ran the offense, and then also the way he took fouls or committed fouls. So, I mean, sort of like nitpicking at players a little bit. Cam Reddish, I want to say, came out.
Cam Reddish was another one. Yes, he said that he felt like he was attacked at times.
Yeah, he felt he was really picked on when, you know, he made mistakes. And granted, like, mistakes are going to happen.
Right,
and, you kind of got to get on a guy. But I think he felt it got to the point where it was like, hey, man, like, I know I messed up, but, man, dude, you need to chill out a little bit. So, you know, I can see it. You know, now that all this information is coming out about how, I guess, Lloyd Pierce didn't necessarily have the relationship with the locker room as many people thought. And I think at the end of the day, that's what, you know, unfortunately led to him losing his job. But, I mean, Atlanta shouldn't freak out too much. Once again, they're in a situation where they do have a really young squad. I mean, just Trae Young alone, that's your franchise player right there. Very exciting player. So, I mean, they should be all right, but yeah, I guess the Lloyd Pierce thing just didn't work out at the end of the day.
Here's why I think they're going to be okay. Nate McMillan steps into a great situation as head coach now. And, you know, it makes me think McMillan had other options for assistant coaching positions. You know, the Houston Rockets definitely wanted him to be their assistant head coach. But he opted to sign with the Hawks. And I'm wondering if he saw the lay of the land in Atlanta and saw there's 1 year left on Lloyd Pierce's contract. Maybe, you know, coaches talk amongst themselves. Maybe he knew that the locker room situation, how it was with Pierce and some of the players. He thought maybe, hey, this is an opportunity for me to, if something happens, it happens. And if it doesn't, great. I'm an assistant coach on a young Atlanta team. But yeah, I don't think the Hawks should worry. I think they'll right the ship with Nate McMillan. I think Nate, he's going to help him instill a better defense. You know, that's one of the things that he does well. He has experience, if I'm not mistaken. He coached Brandon Roy and Damian Lillard, or was it just Damian Lillard? I can't quite remember right now.
I want to say Damian Lillard for sure. I'm not too sure about Brandon Roy.
Right. Yeah. I think... you know, and look, I mean, 7 Hawk players are averaging double-digit points. So they have a good team that can compete in the Eastern Conference. You know, you have Clint Capela, who he is having a good season as well at center. You have Josh Collins, Trae Young. Those are your 3 centerpieces right now. And I think you have enough definitely to make a run in the Eastern Conference, at least for the play-in game.
Yeah. No, I think for sure. I mean, just the talent alone there, that little trio that you mentioned there, I think should be enough to maybe squeeze into that playing game or 8 seed, 7 seed, you know, whatever it may be. But I do like the point that you mentioned about Nate McMillan. You know, I'm not gonna say that I know a ton about the guy, like I'm no expert on him, but I do get the vibe that he is well liked and kind of respected in that organization, mm-hmm. and around the league. And I do like the point that you make that he could have, you know, gone to Houston. You know, Houston was eyeing him, and, you know, he chose Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is a young team, and for him to choose this team, it gives you the impression that he sees something. He sees this lay of the land that you mentioned that, you know, moving forward, hey, like, he may be the interim now, but depending on how this season goes with him as head coach, he might, you know, just keep the job.
Exactly. I don't think we'll see another situation like we saw with the T-Wolves where Chris Finch was hired from Toronto outside of the T-Wolves. So I think the Hawks really want to see what they can do with Nate McMillan. And, you know, they're going to give them the rest of the season. And look, if they sneak into the playoffs, they're a young enough team with enough talent. They can make some noise. You know, they won't make a deep run, but they can definitely give teams trouble. You know, where
if they're healthy, because they've been banged up.
They've
been banged up
this
year too.
For sure, as well. And that needs to be said. You know, Lloyd Pierce this season didn't have had to deal with injuries. But look, it's a COVID season. You know, a lot of teams are dealing with different injuries, you know, COVID protocol. So it's just what teams have better depth. And I think that's one thing that this season is teaching us is how important depth is, you know, and what teams can dig into their treasure of depth. But, you know, something else that's happening in Atlanta and that's going to happen this weekend is the All-Star game. Alex, the All-Star game in Atlanta, something that both of us thought that they shouldn't do, which I still stand that they shouldn't have an All-Star game. But
hey, we're having an All-Star game
Sunday. And yeah, here we are. So we're having the All-Star game on Sunday on TNT in Atlanta. And here's what we're going to do to our listening audience. We're recording this on Wednesday night. So Kevin Durant and LeBron James are picking the players tomorrow, Thursday, well, yesterday for you people listening. So Alex and I, we're going to pick a team without knowing the players, but we're going to defend this team until our last dying breath and just hope that the teams that LeBron and KD pick are right. So, all right. But beyond that, before we pick teams, I just want to say, Alex, what are you looking for towards this All-Star game? And in general, you know, what do you make of All-Star games? Are you a big fan of them? Or, you know, the NBA All-Star game definitely has changed from what it used to be, right?
No, I've always been a fan of the All-Star game for as long as I can remember. Like, I just made it a point, like, each and every year to watch the All-Star game. You know, there was just times where a couple years where I didn't watch as much basketball, but I was like, okay, I'll watch the playoffs, finals, but I got to watch the All-Star game.
The All-Star game, right.
I just want to see the best of the best play in this, like, ultimate pickup game. And I think last year with the new, scoring curriculum, whatever you want to call it, probably not the right word. But I thought it was, you know, it was interesting. Like, literally, they put it as a pickup game where it's like, hey, game to 150, whatever. And guys went at it. Like, there was stuff on the line, obviously, you know, a bigger payday, but it was really exciting. It was nice to see, you know, some of that competitiveness in the All-Star game that we used to see in like the 2000s and 90s. So it was nice to just see that once again. And also too, I guess, you know, they're kind of bringing in the whole All-Star weekend, putting it into like one day, which is okay, I guess. I mean, I didn't really need a three-point contest or skills contest. I guess the dunk contest, I don't mind. I'm a little soft for the dunk contest. That's always been like my favorite event, even though like we have like 3 or 4 years in a row where it sucks, and then we have that one really good year. So
No, you know, here's what I say about the NBA All-Star game. I like that they've implemented changes to kind of increase a little bit more fan interest. You know, I think the draft process with two stars, I think that's also really great, because then you get to mix teams. But you know, you brought up an interesting point, and that's a question I actually wrote down that I wanted to ask you. You know, what does it say that there are more stars, more NBA stars in the three-point shooting contest than in the dunk contest? If you ask me to name you the dunk contest participants, I can't name them to you from memory, because they're not. They're role players, and some of them are really young. Some of them are even not typical role players. They're on the fringe of being role players, you know? But if you tell me to name some three-point shooting contestants, Damian Lillard, Steph Curry, it's Zach LaVine. So, but it just shows you where this league is at now.
Yeah,
where
man.
The three-point shot is the star as opposed to the dunk that it used to be. Like you say, you always held a special place for a dunk contest, and now it's just, now it's the three-point shooting contest.
Yeah, I mean, it's odd, and I think that's been a discussion for a couple years now with the dunk contest, where it doesn't garner those big name players like it used to. I remember that. I think the one that always got away was LeBron. There was one year where he said he was going to do it and he never did it. And I was like, come on, dude. Like, I don't even care if you don't win. Like, just do it. But I mean, I guess if they added a little more incentive maybe to the dunk contest, I don't know. But yeah, it kind of sucks to see that, you know, and no disrespect to the guys that are doing it. I will say I do know Cassius Stanley. I did like him out at Duke. I'm kind of a Duke fan a little bit. But that's
okay.
Just a little side note, just to get it out there, because eventually it was going to come out. But no, like you said, it shows how the league has changed, and now how the three-point contest, not only has it just become, you know, a key factor into the way teams play now, it's just, hey, you look at the three-point contest field now, and it's all-stars. Like, it's a stacked lineup. You look at every single name on there, and you recognize it. It's a household name for the most part. And then you look at the dunk contest, and it's like, unless you're really into basketball, you may or may not know who these guys are.
Now, I'm sure these guys are going to put on a show, and I wish Edwards from the T-Wolves would join the contest, but I don't know if that's even possible anymore. But look, I'm sure these guys are going to put a contest, and I'll probably watch it and enjoy. But it's something to note about how it's changed, and it'll be interesting. I wonder if we'll ever have that back where stars want to actually participate in the dunk contest. Or even not just stars, but, you know, players that have the capability to be stars, you know? I think the last time we had that was maybe Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, I want to say. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then last year, like, Aaron Gordon again was in it. But
was in it, which is good.
But yeah, man, we need it more, man. It's very inconsistent.
More. Now from there, then we're gonna choose. Do you? And I'm gonna give you a choice. You want Team LeBron or Team KD?
You know
who
what?
Has the first pick? Or they haven't decided that.
I think LeBron gets the first pick. I want to say LeBron gets the first pick, but you know what? I'm gonna roll with Team KD, man.
Team KD, okay. I got Team LeBron.
You look at his roster up and down. Well, I mean, there is no roster, but you look at the potential roster, and you know they're all stars. Okay, that's why that's why it's an all-star game. That's why all these guys are all stars. So, you know, he's gonna have a stacked team. I mean, I don't know who he's gonna pick. Maybe James Harden or Kyrie. I one of his Brooklyn Nets teammates has to be on his team. I just don't see how both of them are gonna end up on Team LeBron. That would be kind of odd. But yeah, I'm going to roll at Team KD though. But I feel like LeBron is going to have some interesting picks though.
Yeah, I think Team LeBron is gonna be stacked. He's gonna pick smart players. He's, you know, the team is ready to compete. You know, LeBron is the leader of the NBA still, and you know, the bench could play just as well as the starters can. And I'm you know, LeBron may even just switch starters to start the second half. So it's definitely going to be a, you know, Team LeBron is out there to win it. I'm going to predict LeBron's going to win MVP. That's how good I think Team LeBron's going to be. I don't think he's going to win MVP. I'm just
Nah. I mean LeBron's a smart guy. He's going to pick guys that are going to help him win. So he takes maybe not this year as much as before.
Right. Well, those are our arguments for why each team will win. But in the end, it doesn't really matter. It's an All-Star game, but it does matter. This year's All-Star game is dedicated to historically black college and universities, communities impacted by COVID-19. So that's definitely a good reason that this game was able to continue for that purpose. And yeah, so it's going to be one night. All the stars are going to be together Sunday night.
I'm curious what the jerseys are going to look like.
Yeah, I saw a leak earlier, but I couldn't take it serious, so I didn't even share it or retweet it or like it. So yeah, that's actually, everybody's always interested what the All-Star jerseys are going to look like.
Yeah, they're hit or miss. Some years they've been really good. Other years I'm just like, ugh. I think that one year in New York was horrible. It was just like the number on the front, and then they had like their name on the top, like, and bottom.
It was like super basic, right? It was like the most basic thing. Was that the one I'm thinking about?
Yeah, I was like, oh, what's this? It was ugly. They've had some pretty tough ones, but they've had some nice ones too.
Well, we're talking about the All-Star game. One of those that will be in the All-Star game is James Harden.
It is going to be LeBron James.
It is going to be LeBron James. But one of the other All-Stars is James Harden, and James Harden just played his first game back in Houston after the January trade. And, well, Alex, there was a bit of a booze. There was some cheers. There was some jeers from those in attendance. Granted, it wasn't a capacity crowd. So it's interesting to think about what would have played out if Toyota Center was packed. But also, as a whole, I think it kind of represented how most Rockets fans, at least from the social media that I see from my feed, it's kind of split. You know, some people are, you know, Harden was a great Rocket, and they're happy that he was here. Obviously, they're upset that he's gone, and they're upset with how it played out, but they understand that it's a business. And then there's others that are just really like, F you, James Harden, you did Houston wrong, yada, yada, yada. And hey, that's they're partially right in some aspect, because yeah, the way Harden left Houston was definitely not the right way. Could have definitely been handled better by James Harden, you know, and he's admitted it, he's apologized for it, you know, he still loves this city, and he definitely helped during the recent winter storm. So it was definitely good to at least see some people cheer him. And of course, you know, you heard Tillman Fertitta, he said that the Rockets organization is going to retire his number and hang it from the Raptors. I feel the timing was a bit off, but I do agree that his number should be hanged from the Raptors. But yeah, it's the timing was just bad. So it was bad PR move on that sense, but I'm sure in the Rockets' mind, they thought it was good PR because it's his first game back. So, Alex, what'd you make of James Harden's first game back in Houston?
Well, I mean, he put up a triple-double, so he had a good game, but...
Yeah, right?
But everything surrounding it, I mean, the reaction, I kind of expected it. Just a mix of cheers and boos. I think as time goes on, you know, time heals all wounds. I think, you know, towards the end of his career,
definitely
when he comes back to Houston, I think he'll receive more of a warm welcome than he does the first time around.
You know, it's funny you bring that up. I saw the Vince Carter documentary on Netflix about him transforming Toronto into an NBA town. And when he left Toronto, it was kind of a messy divorce as well. And his first game back, they booed him. Like, they weren't sending that many cheers. But I think like, one of his last years in the league, he went back to Toronto and, like, cheers. Like, just standing ovation for, like, minutes. They had to stop the game. And Vince Carter was just, I mean, emotional. So it just goes back to what you're saying. Time heals all wounds.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like, he just left, so... You know, those wounds are still pretty fresh. Like, it wasn't like it happened a couple years ago. This happened like a couple weeks, you
know,
a month ago.
They're probably still just scab, you know. It's still barely scabbing up.
Right, yeah. I mean, the wounds are still open. They're probably not fully stitched up yet. They're definitely not healed. But, you know, you look at the 8 years that James Harden had in Houston. I mean, those are fun years. You know, I'm not a Rockets fan, but just seeing highlights and what he did with the Rockets, I was just like, man, like, you know, I thought, you know, him coming off the bench in OKC was fun. Man, this guy, when he just became the dude, became this bona fide stud, it was like, holy crap, man, this dude can ball. And he's like not just a really good player, he's one of the best, you know, in the league as a whole. So
and look, they even touched upon it on the ESPN broadcast. JF Van Gundy said nobody knew what James Harden was gonna be. Everybody thought he was a great six man. Everybody knew James Harden had talent, but there's a difference from the James Harden talent in OKC and when he made that jump in Houston. So nobody knew what he was going to become or what kind of player he was going to be. So credit to Houston, credit to Daryl Morey for you know, being able to nab him how he did and seeing the potential in James Harden and then surrounding him with the right coach. Granted, he never was able to really surround him with the right pieces, with the right team. Because obviously we've seen what he can do when he has a great team. We've seen what he can do. And, you know, he's a chameleon. He's going to adjust his game to whatever he needs to be for the team. But no, I think, you know, in years to come, he's going to, his welcome back, whenever he comes back and plays in the future in Houston, there'll be more cheers and less boos. Who knows? There's also some people out there that are still holding on to the belief that James Harden, once he wins the title with the Nets and he runs out his contract, he'll come back to Houston and then win a title here with Houston with Christian Wood, a la LeBron James, Cleveland-Miami situation. I don't subscribe to that notion, but that would be a good storybook ending to James Harden's career.
Hey, man, I think the same thing with Derrick Rose, and you know what? I don't know if it's going to happen. At this point, I'll just be happy if he plays just one more season with the Bulls. I'll be happy with that.
Right. And look, you know, I know a lot of people are also valuing the trade and, you know, whether especially as the Rockets lost this game, we should say also that the Rockets lost to the Nets. So that's 13 losses in a row for the Houston Rockets. So people are revaluing the trade. Maybe should the Rockets have traded with the 76ers for Ben Simmons and instead explore that avenue? And, you know, we've seen Ben Simmons. He's had a good season so far. Granted, he hasn't improved his shooting, but his defensive skills have picked up. His impact on the game is still very valuable. He's still great player to have as a piece to build your team. But I personally think I like the Nets package, the draft picks. You get draft picks and, you know, you have the freedom to approach different avenues that way.
Yeah, it definitely just opens up more options for Houston. Remember we talked about before, like right after the trade happened, you know, what direction was Houston going to go moving forward? And at first it seemed like, hey, you know, this is a team that maybe Houston can roll with, see what happens. And now, you know, we kind of see things aren't really working out. You know, 13 losses in a row, and how fitting 13 losses in a row. 13,
James Harden.
And James Harden's number is 13.
It was right there. It was right there.
I had to bring it up. I'm sorry. I was just like, it's just sitting there waiting for me to bring it up.
It was right there saying, use me, Alex. Use me.
And I was just like, I will.
Now, but look, also we should say the Rockets have been without Christian Wood, who was arguably their best player this season.
Man,
so really that has to be
him.
Said. Really missing him. I mean, they're playing small ball for like 60% of the game. They have Justice Patton now. I think it's Justice and not Justin. Justin Patton is his name. He's 6'10", 6'11", so his size, but he's still, you know, they signed him from the G League, so he's still getting adjusted now to the NBA. Yeah. So it definitely has to be said. But I think, you know, I think James Harden, his legacy will forever be a great one here in Houston. 8 years, every year was in the playoffs, MVP. You know, we could have a discussion about in the offseason about whether Harden should have more than one MVP, because I know there's definitely a lot more people that think that way.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion. I think it's, like you said, in the offseason, that's something to really look at once the season's over. But I did want to bring up one question with you real quick, because you are a Houston man, and sort of the murmurs about Victor Oladipo, and we talk about the future moving forward with Houston. What are your thoughts on that? Because that deadline's coming up pretty quick.
3 weeks, if I'm not mistaken. I think I think we're going to see a lot of changes with the Houston Rockets. I think Victor Oladipo is going to get moved. I think P.J. Tucker is going to be on the move. I also saw recently a report, I think they even mentioned it on the ESPN broadcast, that teams have been making a call about Eric Gordon. Teams have shown interest in Eric Gordon, and he's having a good season. He's bounced back from that injury he had that bothered him last season. So I we're definitely going to see some moves coming up, and I know the team has already said that Kevin Porter Jr. is coming to the team after the All-Star break, and Christian Wood will be back after the All-Star break. And Kevin Porter Jr., I don't know if you've seen some of his highlights. He's having a great G League season. Granted, it's the G League, but still, for someone that didn't play for most of last season and just start, you know, getting back into NBA game and shape, he's definitely looked like a future talent that the Rockets snapped from the Cleveland Cavaliers for a 57 second round pick or something, whatever it was. Which, let me tell you, there's some other conspiracies going out there that KPJ was part of the whole Harden trade, but they just couldn't announce it as part of the Harden trade, so they had to do it a couple days later or the following week.
Kind
of like underground, because I mean, think about it, they made that deal with the Cavs, they sent Jared Allen to the Cavs, so they're saying it was some underground handshake going on.
Yeah, some under the table deal where just all this stuff going on, all the mess surrounding Harden and all that. They're like, hey, let's make this little move.
So this is part of the deal, but we won't. It's on the side. You know how NBA teams might do it.
Right. Let's not make it too public.
So, but yeah, but you know, James Harden, any star going back. Superstar, and he goes back to play to his old team. It's always mixed bag, right? Depending how the person left. So, and I guess we saw James Harden. I don't know, when do you think will be the next time we see a superstar leave a team?
You know what? Brian Windhorst from ESPN. I hope I didn't butcher his name. he did mention something about some stars looking at the Knicks in the next year or so. About wanting to move to the Knicks. So we'll see. I mean, take it with a grain of salt. You know, it's the Knicks, even though they are doing pretty well. But once again, it is the Knicks. So
it is the Knicks, right?
And honestly, just the way the league is now, I honestly wouldn't be surprised if a superstar leaves in the next year or two or so, or three. Like, I don't know. It just... It isn't the type of league now where a guy is set in stone, you know, with one franchise for the long term. It's like, hey, they're there. That is pretty much a perfect example is James Harden, the dude we've been talking about. He's been a solid 8 years, and it got to the point where it was him to move on.
Yeah. That era of one player sticking with just one team is long gone. But you know what, listeners? You can always count on us to be here, the Basketball Fiends, Alex and I. We're here to talk to you about all these topics in the NBA. When the superstar leaves, we'll be there to discuss it and dissect it as best we can.
We'll be here.
We are the Basketball Fiends. We'll be here. But that does it for this edition, for this episode. I don't know why I keep saying edition.
Hey, you know what? Episode, I like edition.
Edition, I like Ryan edition. Is different. I like edition. We're going to go edition. We just made an executive decision. The motions take it. All right, people. Thank you for joining us for this edition of the Basketball Fiends. Don't forget to subscribe. See ya.
Deuces.